Today's presenter is Yu Tang. Yu joined the Webster SWAT team in 2001. He works with customers who solve Webster application server problems and crisis. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to you.
Thanks, Elijah. Good morning, everyone. As Elijah said, I'm from Webster SWAT team. Our team helps customers when there is an emergency problem, normally in production environment. One of the main pain points I observed with our customer is the PD documentation collection. In many cases, we had to recreate the problem, which is a pain, especially when the problem occurs only in production environment. In this session, I will talk about how to prepare for problem determination so that we can collect the proper PD documentations quickly when a problem occurs, thus reduce the need for recreating the problem. Now, please go to slide 2 for agenda. I will first have a general discussion about Webster problem determination and how the preparation for problem determination fits in the big picture. Then I will talk about different types of documents that may help problem determination for Webster application server. And when we will collect those documents. Then I will talk about some best practices and some recommendations on preparing the Webster application server environment so that most common docs can be collected when there is a problem. We will focus on the problem in the production environment. After that, we will have a discussion and a Q&A. Now go to slide 3. In a big picture, when the problem occurs in Webster application server environment, you want to do two things. First is to get your system back into a good working state. And second is to find the root cause of the problem so that it won't occur again. Sometimes those two complement each other. For example, if you know what caused the problem, it may help you to recover the system. For example, if you know the problem is with a web server, you may want to recycle the web server and instead of Webster application server. On the other hand, those two go conflict with each other sometimes. If you recycle the server too quickly without collecting enough documents, we may have problem finding the root cause afterwards. For any problem determination, we will need document to find the root cause. And the preparation is a key for quick problem resolution. When I talk about preparation, I'm referring to having a procedure for initial diagnostics, what to do when a problem occurs, and to have a procedure for collecting diagnostic documents. Once you determine in the initial diagnostic phase what is the problem, you will want to collect the document that to debug the specific type of problem. And once you have the document, then you will need to get the system back on track quickly. So having a procedure to restore the system to a good state is very important here. Now go to slide 4. Initial problem diagnostic phase. This refers to what you want to do once the problem is reported. Because Webster is a complex environment with many moving parts, a problem can happen in many places. So the first thing you want to do is isolate the problem down to a specific area and to a specific type. Some of the common problems in the production environment are crash. So in a crash, the GVM process basically goes away, and sometimes a system cordon will be created. Another common problem is the HAN, or performance degradation. In the HAN performance degradation, there are different types as well. Sometimes the HAN comes with high CPU usage. Sometimes the CPU usage on the box is close to 100%. And sometimes the HAN does not come with high CPU usage. So the CPU is fine on the box, but still the user is not getting the response back. So those are the type of problem we want to narrow down to in the initial problem diagnostic phase. Because based on the different type of problem, we will need different types of diagnostic documents. Now go to slide 5, please. The common steps for initial diagnostics include look at the system outer log to see whether it's whether there are error messages from the application, the customer application, to look at the system out log, system error log. And in many cases, the application has their own log, and that's also very useful too. Another place to look is the verbose GC log. I will talk more about the verbose GC log later. Basically, we want to make sure the Java process is in a good state. It's not running out of heap space. And in a performance degradation or a HAN situation, we almost always want to have the Java core or thread dump on the Sun JDK. So take in those situations, take a Java core, and normally the Java core will give you further information as where the problem is. We will also talk more about the Java core later. Sometimes you want to run some OS command. For example, take a look at the network traffic connection using NetStat, or you to take a look at the CPU usage or memory usage using VMSAT on Unix. The initial diagnostic is really, in my opinion, is a key for quick problem resolution. And I mentioned that you want to go through the system outer log, and you want to go through the verbose GC, and you want to go through the Java core. The skill comes with experience. You do have to read a few verbose GC logs, read a few Java cores in order to understand the format and be able to analyze it. There are some resources you can learn how to use those, how to interpret those documents. One of them is IBM Guided Activity Assistant, IGAA. IGAA contains multiple walkthroughs for common problems. For example, it has a walkthrough for out-of-memory problems. It basically walks you through the steps to debug out-of-memory problem. It will ask you to look at the verbose GC log, and ask you to take heat dumps and use tools to analyze heat dumps. That's an example. And it also contains multiple walkthroughs for example, for crash, for HTTP session problems, etc., etc. And IBM support is adding more content to IGA constantly. IGA is a plugin in the IBM Support Assistant. IBM Support Assistant also has other plugins that you can use to analyze Verbal CC, for example, and to analyze heat dump and Java Core. Another very useful resource I find is a troubleshooting guide. It is a top-down, it provides a top-down roadmap as to what to do when a particular problem in a particular situation. And I listed the URL for the troubleshooting guide. Now to the slide 6, please. Once we pass the initial diagnostic guide, we should know where the problem is and what type of problem is, whether it's a hand problem or performance degradation problem or it's an out-of-memory problem. Now we want to collect the diagnostic document. The guideline for what document to collect is in the MustGather. So once you decide MustGather, we have I believe we have more than 100 MustGathers for different scenarios. So you do need to do the initial diagnostic to narrow down the problem types before you can find the proper MustGather to collect the document. And it's very useful to go through the MustGather for the most common problems. For example, in production environment, the performance degradation is one of the most common problems. So you want to go through that for your particular platform, say what tools are needed, what documents are needed, and you may want to script some of the steps so that you can run the script to get the document quickly when a problem occurs. And because in a production environment, you want to collect the document quickly before you can recycle the server, recover the system. Another example with the MustGather is the high CPU problem. So if you decide that there is a high CPU problem and it's not due to out-of-memory, you may want to follow the high CPU, 100% CPU MustGather to collect the document. And the 100% CPU MustGather require some document from OS utility. So you may want to go through the MustGather to make sure you have those utility on your system. And you create a script so that you can collect those docs when a problem does occur. Now to next slide, slide 7. After you collect the document, then you can recover the system. And the procedure to recover a system depends on what you get, what's your conclusion from the initial diagnostic activity. So if the problem is with the app server, if it's running out of memory, normally there's not much you can do besides recycling the app server. And if the problem is a web server, sometimes you need to recycle the web server instead of the app server. So, again, before you recycle the servers to recover your system, make sure that the proper diagnostic documents are collected, because otherwise it's very hard to find the root cause of the problem, and we will likely need to recreate the problem later. Another aspect of the recovery is sometimes it's if it's due to the application change or configuration change, make sure you have a change control system so you can roll back the system in a good state. Now to slide 8. There are different Webster PD documents. There are different types of PD documents. I categorize them into 3 categories. There are docs that are always available for analysis post the incident. For example, the system outer log, the system error log, they are always collected and it's always available. Also, this also applies to SSDC logs and also configuration XML, etc. So those, we don't need to worry too much about it. Basically, we can always get it after the problem. And another category is some of the docs that has to be collected during a problem. For example, the Java core and the trace. And some of the, if we need the OS utility output, for example, the VM stack, NetStack stack we talked about. So those we need to be aware of and collect those when the problem occurs. And the third category is some of the docs can only be collected after a server recycle. An example is the verbal CC log. So you have to turn on the verbal CC explicitly. And it only takes effect after a server recycle, at least before Webster 6.1. Another example is a heap dump. You have to, if you want to collect heap dump together with the Java core, you have to configure it beforehand. Another example is a system core dump. You have to make sure that the system core dump can be created if the JVM crashes. And that has to be done beforehand. If you're, we will talk a little bit more about the system core dump later. So, the, for the second and the third category, that is what we focus on when we say prepare for problem determination. We want to make sure we can get those when a problem occurs. Now to slide 9. We will talk about some of the best practices for preparation for problem determination. One of the first one here is to turning on verbal CC. I would recommend that turning on verbal CC for all the servers, including the node agent and deployment manager, all the time. Verbal CC log is really has a very minimum impact, performance impact. The JVM will print out a few lines every GC cycle. We can pretty much ignore the performance impact here. The verbal CC is a very good indicator of the JVM health. Now the JVM, the heap size is one of the most common problems we see in the field. To have a verbal CC available is critical. And there are so many problems that's related to the heap. Verbal CC is almost always the first thing we want to look at. For example, when you have performance degradation, we probably want, the first thing we want to know is JVM running out of heat? So we want to take a look at the robust CC log. And on the other hand, if the verbal CC log doesn't show any activity at all, then we probably know there is some other problem. For example, maybe all the threads are blocked in the Webster application server, or maybe the front end is not sending requests to the Webster app server. So the verbal CC log really can tell us a lot. And also, another good thing about verbal CC log is it keeps track of history. I recently worked with a customer. We had, we noticed that, the app server once in a while is run out of, had out of memory condition. And from the verbal CC log, we can actually see that there are spikes in the heap usage even before the out of memory. So once in a while, the heap usage will spike up and comes back down. Sometimes it will come back down without problem, but sometimes it will have out of memory. So this gives us some indication that it's caused by a particular transaction. Sometimes you happen to have enough space to accommodate this particular transaction, but sometimes you don't. So the verbal CC, the historical information in the verbal CC log is very helpful. Although I recommend to turning on verbal CC all the time, but you do have to realize that the log file will continue to grow unless you clean it up. So you need to have a procedure to clean up the verbal CC log periodically. Normally, the file is not too big. If you run it for a month, probably it will only be 200 or 300 megs. It depends, but I would say it's around that range. But you cannot run the server for several months without cleaning up the verbal CC log. There are tools to analyze the verbal CC log. There are actually two of those in the IBM support assistant. One is EVTK and one is the PMAT. They provide similar information. Depends on, so you can use either one. And another thing I would recommend is, although those tools give you a very good overview of the verbal CC, you probably want to be able to understand the verbal CC log by just browse through it. It is very useful. When you have a problem, you just telnet into or SSH into your production environment. So you want to be able to just look at the verbal CC log and see whether there is a problem. So understanding the verbal CC log is critical. Now to slide 10. Another important document, diagnostic document, is Java Core or the thread dump for Sun and HP UX JDK. It is probably the most useful document for hand or performance related problems. What your administrator should be reasonably familiar with Java Core or thread dump, because when it is very useful to isolate the problem. For example, if you have a problem if you have a hand situation, you probably want to take a Java call and take a look at the stack trace of the thread, see where they are stuck at. And sometimes it's very easy to detect where is the problem. For example, if there's a deadlock in the database, it's very likely that you see many, many threads in the Java core waiting for the database response. And another example, if you have a problem with the connection pool, you probably will see many, many threads waiting for getting a connection from the connection pool. So the Java core really can help you to isolate the problem, to whether it's in the backend database or not. Another example is if you take a Java core and you don't see any activity in the virtual application server, or the threads are waiting for work, then it tells you that the problem is in the web server or in the communication between the plugin and the web stream. So you don't have to know the details of WebSphere in order to read the Java core. You just need to have a rough idea of, say, look at the thread structures of the Java core and see what its thread is doing, whether it's in the application code or in the WebSphere code or it's waiting for the database. We have a thread analyzer that can help you to analyze the Java core or thread dump. What thread analyzer does is to group the thread with similar stack trees together so you can see it right away. For example, you may say, oh, here there are 40 threads having the same stack tree and they are all waiting for the database. Then you can pretty much determine that there is a problem with the database, maybe a deadlock of some sort. The thread analyzer is also available as a plugin inside the IBM support assistant. So you can use that. And again, the same with variable CC log, thread analyzer is useful to give you a big picture. You probably want to be able to just browse the thread dump or the Java core manually, so you can you can isolate the problem quickly. The Java core has to be triggered by hand, so you have to if there is a problem with performance or there is a hand problem, you want to trigger the Java core manually. On Unix environment, you run the command tilde-3 for a particular process to get the Java core. And on Windows, you can use wsadmin script to trigger a Java core. On ZOS, I don't think it's documented, but you can use modify command to get Java core for stack trace in the case of 6.1. Now to slide 11. Out of memory or Java heap related problem is another common problem in the production environment. The normally we can see whether the server is running out of memory from the variable CC log. But if it is running out of memory, we need the heap dump in order to further debug the problem. The heap dump will tell us what objects are on the heap. And normally with heap dump, we can find the root cause of the memory problem pretty easily. So So, but without a hip dump, those type, we, it's very hard to debug a hip-related problem, a memory leak or out of memory. So the hip dump is really important. Normally, the JVM will generate a hip dump when it's running out of memory, when an out of memory exception occurs. But sometimes you know from the verbal CC log that the JVM is very close to running out of memory, but it's just slow and it hasn't run out of memory yet. In those cases, you want to trigger the hip dump manually. One option is to set up the JVM option so that when you do a field-3, it will generate a hip dump as well as a Java core. But we have to be careful here because the hip dump can take a while to generate. So if you know that you are likely to run into a hip-related problem, it may be you may want to enable that option so that when you do a field-3, you get both Java core and hip dump. But you know that you haven't run into the hip-related problem for a while, and the performance hand problem is more common. You don't want the hip dump to slow down the process. You may not want to enable that option. Another suggestion for the Java core and the hip dump is to specify a central location. For the IDM JDK, you can use an environment variable to specify a central location. Many customers do that, so they don't have to go into the directory on each server to find the Java core or hip dump. So they will just put the Java core and hip dump on a shared file system so they can just monitor that particular directory to know what's going on all the servers in the environment. On ZOS, the SVC dump contains the hip dump information, so normally you don't have to trigger a hip dump separately. The MDD for J2, it accepts the SVC dump as input, so we can extract the hip dump information from the SVC dump on ZOS. Please move to slide 12, please. Another problem we see is the core dump is not enabled. So when a JVM crashes, with the absolute, we will absolutely need the system core dump to debug the problem. And in many cases, it's not enabled by default. Often it's restricted by the ulimit on the Unix environment. In many cases, I see the customer sets the ulimit to zero for core dumps. So when the process crashes, we don't get any core dumps. And in that case, we pretty much have to ask the customer to enable to change the ulimit and wait for the problem to occur again. So that is very frustrating. So you want to make sure that you can get a complete core dump when the JVM crashes. You may want to set up the environment according to the test notes and use, say, kill-11 to manually trigger a core dump. And this, the information about enabling core dump, it depends on your particular platform. It's different on Windows and on Solaris and AIX. So there are tech notes for each platform. You have to, you will need to go through those and make sure you can get one. This is really very important because when the JVM crash, it's such a severe problem, and you don't want to recreate this type of problem. On ZOS, normally we can get SVC dump. Just make sure that the dump space is large enough because the web share address space, it normally is very big. So you want to make sure you have enough space to hold the dump. Now to slide 12. Oh, sorry, slide 13. Some other recommendations. First one is to make sure you have the tools required for the high CPU mask adder. For example, on AIX, if you have a high CPU problem, say 100% CPU, you will need to run TPROC and DBX to collect the document, and that is in addition to the Java core. So in many cases, the TPROC, the customer doesn't have TPROC or DBX on their system. So when a problem occurs, they cannot collect those documents, and the result is we have to recreate the problem. So you may want to make sure that you have those tools installed on your system, and you have a script ready to run those tools when a problem does occur. And the high CPU problem is one of the most common problems in a production environment. The second one is to turn on the large object allocation threshold. This mainly applies to WebSphere version before 6.1. Before 6.1 normally, and also this only applies to IBM JDK. I should mention that. In IBM JDK, normally, when you allocate a large object, it is an indication of some error. Normally, the object in Java is really small. Maybe a few hundred bytes is pretty large already. And if you need to allocate an object, say 2 megs, size of 2 megs, it normally it's a problem. Either you are putting too much information in the string or getting too much data from the database. So you may want to turn on the large object allocation threshold. So when a large object is allocated, the JVM will print out the stack trace. So you will know which part of the application is trying to allocating the large object. Another suggestion is to create a WS admin script to turn on the WebSphere runtime trace. The alternative to the script is to go in admin console and change the trace level for each server. And that is slow and error prone. So you may want to create a WS admin script put the trace string as an input to the script. And when the problem occurs, for example, if you know there is a problem with security, you may want to find the trace string for the security component and turn on the security trace on all the servers. Now to slide 14. This flight is specifically for WestJet on DOS. DOS provides some utility that can keep track of data automatically. For example, the RMS report for performance problems. So that's very good. We can always go back and get the RMS report if there is a performance problem. Another one I want to mention is SMS 120 record. That is created by the WestJet. And there are several types of SMS 120. I would recommend that we turn on the interval record. It's not terribly expensive, but do not turn on the activity report. Because for the activity report, WestJet will create a record for every servlet request, for every EJB request. That is very, very expensive. But for the interval record, WestJet will just keep track of the, keep a counter for each one. So the overhead is not too bad. And the SMS 120 record is particularly useful when you want to compare the CPU usage by applications, by servlets, before and after some migration. And I have used it in many customer situations. Now to slide 15. Another thing I want to mention is to be ready to use IBM tools. One of the tools we use is IBM Assist on Site. This tool allows IBM support personnel to see and control the customer's workstation. It's like a NetMeeting, but it can go across the firewall. Normally it can, but you have to, sometimes the firewall is configured in a way so that the IBM Assist on Site won't work. So you may want to test it out beforehand so that the IBM Support Assist on Site works. In those cases, you may, if it's available, you can always ask the IBM support personnel to start a session so they can see your screen. And in my opinion, that can speed up the problem resolution tremendously. I want to mention the IBM support assistant again. Besides the many tools like EVTK and PMAT and MDB4J, IBM Support Assistant also has a portable collector, which is you can create a portable collector and run the collector on your production servers to collect the documents. So basically, for example, the portable collector has a script to collect the high CPU scenario. So it's an interactive tool. It asks you what is the problem and what is the name of your server, etc., and then it will collect the docs for a particular type of problem. Now to slide 16. This is just a list of resources. The Mustgather, the troubleshooting guide, and one of the most useful information is the IBM JDK diagnostic guide. So you can find information about, say, the format of Verbose CC and the Java core there. And also I listed the tech note for the large object allocation threshold there.